Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I am joined by It's Cool producer Joel.
Happy birthday to you.
Whose birthday is it?
Happy birthday to you.
Is it mine?
Happy birthday, dear Mark.
It is mine.
Happy birthday to you. It is your birthday.
Oh, well, that's lovely. It is my birthday on the day that we are recorded.
Yeah.
The day or before yesterday. It's released. Or two days ago.
Depends when you're listening.
We don't know. That's a beauty podcast. They can listen whenever they bloody like, and we love that.
We can.
We love that era at the podcast headquarters, don't we, Joel?
We do. Mark, how has your birthday been?
It's
4 p.m. So tell me, what happened? Did you wake up nice and early? All excited, or did you have a big birthday lion?
I did wake up nice and early.
Oh wow!
Went and met my dad for coffee.
Lovely.
Yeah, I even saw my mum before she went to work.
Great.
Because I'm still living at home because of the COVID. I am in the process of looking a little bit harder in London now because I was holding off because I thought there was going to be lockdown. I didn't really want to sort of move during that, but I don't think there is going to be. Is there, Joel?
I don't think there is going to be, no.
Heard it here first. So
this is where people come for their news.
So if anyone wants a flatmate in London, hit me up.
The birthday boy is looking.
He is. I just had a lovely, lovely nap. Lovely nap.
Yeah?
Oh,
how long?
40 minutes.
Okay.
And woke up, didn't know where I was. So it was a good one.
Yeah. I'm quite anti-nap. I never have a nap.
That's where we differ.
Yeah, I don't like napping.
But I think we've probably discussed it on here before, but I have to nap.
Yeah.
If I don't... Oh. Fun, interesting. We bring this up on the podcast this week. I talked to the guest about napping.
Yeah, well,
so let's hold
during
on,
the
because I don't
I think
want to repeat.
During the podcast, you have a 30-minute nap, don't you, while the guest just sits there?
And I actually also I should point out that in today's episode, I say the same thing as I did last week in the episode. We just happened to talk about the same thing, but it's only very brief, so enjoy that. You know, you might have missed it last week. It was a good episode last week.
It was.
Lots of lovely stuff people said about the episode, which I don't have to hand. I was going to talk about it.
Have you had a birthday cake?
Let me see if I can find the note. I haven't had one, no. I might do later. You never know, Joel. Actually, while I'm going through my phone, I found a note on my phone yesterday that just said BG spot.
Okay,
it's from a while ago, so I don't know whether my thought process was if you're sort of in the midst of, you know, making love and they go particularly high pitched, you know, you've hit the BG spot, or is it the B G spot? So if you're getting sexy with an insect, I don't know, Joel. I don't know.
No, I think that's best kept in the notes. I would actually say maybe
delete.
There's a little trash bin. There's a little
delete the notes. I thought you might like that. And then I came up with a joke yesterday or the day before, which I haven't tried yet. I'm just going to be honest. I feel like it might have been done before. It feels like someone should have come up with it before. But I put it on socials and yeah, no one yeah. said, oh, that's such and such a joke. So maybe it's one of those nuggets that hasn't been done before. But just halfway through the show, just go, did someone say I'm paranoid?
I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I like it as well.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to doing that one.
Are you doing a gig on your birthday tonight?
I'm not doing a gig. I'm going for meet a friend for a lovely, lovely curry.
Oh, amazing.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that sounds great.
I don't think this is feedback's really. It's kind of...
Well, I'm glad you spent all this time looking at your phone.
We've had a nice chat while I've been looking at my phone. That's been some good content, Joel.
This is what I imagine it's like being a dad to a teenager these days.
What was that?
Yeah, exactly. Just staring at you in your hoodie on your phone. I'm trying to connect on your birthday and you'd rather look at your bloody phone on your birthday than look at your old man.
Oh, that'd be quite nice, Joel.
What if I was your dad?
Yeah, we'd sort of, I reckon we'd have fun, wouldn't we?
I think we would, yeah. I'd take your little days out.
You'd take me to Charlton, wouldn't you?
I would. I'm actually going to see your beloved West Ham tonight.
Are you? Why have I not been invited? On my birthday. Of all the days. To not be invited.
Oh, no.
Why? At your ground, is it? I haven't looked.
No, it's at West Ham's.
Oh, you're ground. Going to see that? You go to see the European games, don't you?
It's Premier League game tonight, Mark. Yeah. You're obviously you follow very closely, don't you? They're playing Norwich tonight, which isn't in Europe.
Yeah, I think you'll find Norwich is in Europe. do you want to apologise on my birthday, having to go at me when you were in the wrong?
I apologise. For not
and
knowing
I was just
where
out,
the
but,
city of Norwich is.
But you, I wasn't saying today was a European game.
No, that I have been.
But
yes,
I recall
yes.
that you have been seeing.
Go back on your phone.
Oh, if I go on the phone, I could find out the information. no, I think we've been talking too much, Joel, but I think it's been lovely. What a lovely birthday chat. You're just having little pops at me. It's nice to know that you don't change.
No way. No way.
No.
You could come on here and announce
and
the worst thing imaginable.
Near where you live.
I can't wait. God. Cannot wait. I get really excited when you do your little videos for BT and I know exactly where you've been and where you are.
When you see them. Yeah there's another one this week. It's a good one. I'll be putting that on my socials, so everybody check that out. And also, if any of you are in the Leicester area, I'm doing the Leicester Comedy Festival on the 4th of February at the Brewdog. Get yourself some tickets. Link in my bio on my socials. Joel.
Mark.
We should crack on. This is a very... you know what, Joel? I listened through to an edit. I listened through for the edits and everything last night to this episode. Yeah. And the episode's with Jess Foster-Q. Everyone knows that because we told them last week.
We did.
And also, when they click on it,
They've clicked the name.
This was a delightful chat to listen to. I was just sitting there really enjoying listening to our chat. I'd forgotten what we talked about and it was really fun. So I think everyone's going to really enjoy it. There is some bonus content on Patreon, patreon.com/jokeswithmark, where Jess and I talk about comedy tropes. So things that like lots of comedians do and whether that's all right or not. And also sort of the comedians that you kind of copy when you first start. And like the trendy ones. We have a long chat about that. So it's good fun over. So check that out on the Patreon. There'll be another 361 jokes, 5 at a time on the Patreon as well for this week. And also loads of other stuff. So get yourself over there. But I think we should just get cracking with this week's guest. It's Jess Foster-Q.
Let's do it.
Delight. Get your ears around it. Here he is. So do you think your everything sort of all fell together once you worked out you were more sort of you?
I don't know if there wasn't like a ding moment. I think
so. Your Hench show, that was your show that sort of went, that was your sort of breakthrough show, would you say?
Yeah, I guess.
So had you, had was there a change before you did that one? Or were you just, Was that just the first one that got the attention it needed?
There was a change before I did that one. Lots of things changed in my life, so I don't think that can be a coincidence. I just don't think it can. But there was a lead up to it. It wasn't that. It wasn't that overall. Like, I did the show I did before it. I thought didn't get any of the attention it deserved.
Right, yeah.
Do you know what I mean, though? Like, in my mind, well, maybe not. I don't know. It's a very different sort of show. The show before it, it's hard to do a direct comparison because the show before it was one massive story about a terrible time on a cruise ship.
I've had one of those.
Yeah. I thought I'd get away with it and no one had ever known. I'd done it and my son was tiny. I just thought, wow, look at the money, have a go. And it was bad.
Yep, same.
Real bad.
Oh, no, we did the same.
We might have done the same audition. Little run of them. Oh, God.
No, we did the same audition for it. Was it with Luke?
Yeah.
Luke's agent. We did the same audition. Yeah, I got a couple from it and no more. Yes, I spoke about it a few times on here.
Yeah, I did a whole show about it called The Silence of the Nans. I got death threats. But that show I...
Did you actually have death threats?
Yeah, on the boat, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
From the audience.
Well, yeah.
Not from the staff.
The fish.
The staff hated me as well, but it was mainly the audience. It was... it was awful. But
did you hide? Because I had one show which went great, and I was walking around like a celebrity.
Wow.
And then literally that evening, they put me on a bill saying, not even a bill, on my own in a bar saying adult comedy or blue comedy or something like that. And that's not what I do. So they weren't, and I died hard for 45 minutes because I wanted that money. So I didn't come off early.
I hid
until we got off in Gibraltar, and then I let everyone get off, and then I sort of snuck off and
brilliant,
and never returned.
Brilliant. No, I couldn't hide. My son was 6 months old, and like you just can't. As soon as we got on, I was like, oh my God, this is massive. But within like an hour, I was like, I feel so tiny. And you can't just stay in your cabin with a tiny baby. And because he was the only baby on the whole ship, people would come up to coo at the baby, you know, when you were going to get lunch or whatever, and then clock that it was you and be like, oh, it's you. You were shit. You've ruined our holiday. And the worst thing is, I didn't think the gig had gone that bad. I had to do two back-to-back, two 45-minute gigs. I'd written stuff especially. I thought, because I didn't expect to take the roof off, but I thought I've survived this, the first one. And then there was all this muttering in the gap. And in between shows, I was meant to meet the captain and he cancelled that. And then before the second show, I said to the woman running it, I was like, and this wasn't even in the show I did about it, because I had to make the jeopardy bigger, I spread the gigs out in the show, in the Silence of the Nans show. But in reality, there was another show straight away. And I said to her, because again, I didn't want to not get my money. I was like, do I need... She went, you can do a bit less this show because this second audience don't have great English. They're mainly Spanish speaking. I was like, okay. When you say a bit less, is there any... like lower limit of time is there an amount of time I need to do? And she went, if it goes the same as the last show, no limit. As in, like, get off, get back off stage. I got little notes under my door.
God.
Yeah, and I got not, you know, it wasn't like I'm coming for you, I'm gonna get you. It was, you should throw yourself off this boat with the notes. Saying you should throw yourself into the sea. And I was trapped at sea. There was nowhere to get off. We were trapped at sea for three more days and nights, having been fired with my baby. So not, I couldn't stay in the thing the whole time.
Oh, my God. I feel so sick.
It was gross. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I loved,
what a great show.
Yeah, I loved writing that. And I loved embellishing all the characters. I feel like that show was the first time I really moved away from... I got some crap advice really on in my career, which I really stuck hold to. Maybe it helped me at the time, I don't know. But really early on, a promoter said to me, it's really obvious that you're an actor. And I'm not a trained actor. But they were like, you know, you can tell from what you're doing that you're an actor and you should, you know, you need to get rid of that. Stand-ups hate that, and actually it just took me a decade to realize I understand that stand-up's different to acting. It's not a monologue, it's not some eggy sort of character act. I get it, but if you can take on somebody's, do an impression where you take on someone's persona while you're doing an impression of them and build that world up and paint that world. It took me a decade to ignore that advice and start doing that. And actually,
right,
you know,
that's so good, because this is when you were telling that story then, when you were doing the accents and the voice and.
But it's I talk in normal life, if I'm gonna talk like someone had said something and I can talk like them, I will do it. Maybe it's really annoying, but anyway, I wish the Silence of the Nan shows it. Yeah. But I still,
sounds great,
it was fun. Yeah. So, but before that, I would say, to answer your original question, before the Silence of the Nans, I'd say that all the previous shows before that, and there were quite a few, I think there were 4 or 5, were quite shit. So I didn't deserve any attention until Silence of the Nans, and then I got it by Hench.
Yeah, yeah. And you, oh, that's cool. Mm. So, jokes. So what are you working on at the moment? Are you working on a show at the moment?
Yeah.
So you doing new material?
Yeah.
And is it, what sort of show is it? Is it a similar to which?
Oh, it's hard to answer that. I don't have to have anything ready until August. And I have...
Is it for Edinburgh?
Yeah. And then I'll tour after Edinburgh.
Yeah.
My process for making jokes changes all the time, and I think the pandemic would have, having a kid changed it massively. Suddenly I hated trying to work with pen to paper and just wanted to write on stage, but that's quite labor intensive, you know, because how many gigs do you need to be improvising? You're not completely, you know, never.
No, because it's all got to be so precise.
Even like an improvised topper or something at a really new material gig.
Well, at the moment I do stuff where I talk to the crowd and then I do jokes on the spot, and quite often sometimes that's on the spot and sometimes it's an old joke in my head.
Yeah.
But when, yeah, I do, I can sort of make it, but I still don't think that's quite the same as having, I think it's so brave to just go on and work through stuff. I think it's really a cool way of doing it.
Well, that's very kind, but I don't think it's brave if the stakes are low. You know, if it's a new material gig or whatever, then that's the point of it, isn't it, right? You've got to be able to... I stopped being able to write. It suddenly sounded very written when I wrote it before I did it. And but writing has to come into it as part of the process. Otherwise it almost inevitably doesn't become sharp enough, or you don't. But by writing, I still don't necessarily mean a pen and paper, I don't think. I think there's something, I'm getting more practicing, say it out loud. I don't feel like there's any point listening back to old new material sets, or, you know, before you do another one, unless I'm in a position where I can quietly stop and start it and like brainstorm off the back of one thing I said, or try and think of things as I'm listening to myself back. I find that
invaluable. Does that not help you remember things that you did come up with on the spot?
Yeah.
Or do you always remember
it definitely
anyway?
Helps me. No, I don't always. Fuck, I never remember it unless I listen back.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Well, not never.
That's cool.
But yeah. Yeah, enough. It's so I need to start. I can't go up with nothing. I need to start with ideally the knowledge of what was funny about the thing, not just a thing happened. But I have a weird, I don't know how weird it is, I have a thing where I sort of need to tell a story as it happened a few times before I can get the bravery together, frankly, to start discarding the truth in favour of the comedy.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. So have you got any bits that you've sort of been working on lately that you went up with an idea but were like, no, that's, I was wrong, there's nothing in this?
Yeah. Loads. Absolutely loads.
Really? Tell us some of those.
Quite often something will happen in life and I'll really get the giggles. And then, for one reason or other, I can't make it fly. I've lived with my girlfriend for a bit, but we've recently bought somewhere together, and it's been so stressful. And I really wanted to. I'm really looking for ways of showing the comedy and that stress. Okay. But it's impossible to do it without just looking like you're miserable. You're in a horrible relationship. One of you's a dick. So,
because everyone can relate to that. Yeah, as a topic.
You'd think that, wouldn't you? But then, how do you? So, I thought at the time,
does
I thought
it bring this, back bad memories?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought at the time this was so funny. I'd been such an arsehole that she was so annoyed with me that I got something in my eye, and I was like, "Oh, I've got something in my eye," and she went, "No, you haven't." Like in the moment, I was like, "You can't boss me about with that." And I remember thinking, imagine if I was like, "Oh no, yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, sorry, I was imagining it as there's a massive stick in your eye." Like, "Oh yeah, yeah, sorry, you must be right. Sorry." But you know, so I loved it. I thought at the moment I was really laughing, and it broke the tension. Actually, you know, we'd clearly been having a bit of back and forth, and we were cracking up. She was like, "What I meant was, you know, nothing I was doing." She was like, "It's not my fault," or whatever. It was just she couldn't help herself. And I can't get that to land. I can't get that to land. And it equally, you know, the more I think, is it worth finding a way of making that land if I'm going to end up with a bit of material that doesn't make her look as lovely as she is? Like,
you have to really up the your arseholeness beforehand. Maybe.
Totally, totally. Or just that, like, one-upmanship. But equally... Again, you're like, ridiculous. Do I want a load of material about house in when we're both very stressed? We both are quite bad at being the one who doesn't get the last word or isn't right. Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah,
that's just got nothing. But you've just been relaying it exactly how it happened.
I've tried variations of the build up. I have tried me being really annoyed, being really, you know, antagonistic in the build up. But then it doesn't feel like a big enough payoff. It just sounds like she's either mad or not very nice. And I think because I perhaps stupidly said to her, I can't get this that funny. Do you remember that thing? And she was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Do you not want me to do that?" And she was like, "Not if I'm not going to come out of it very well." And I was like, okay. There's some moral reasons to drop that too.
That's an interesting thing, isn't it? Because with me, all my jokes are, they're not all totally made up.
Yeah.
But like, if I have a girlfriend at the time when I'm doing jokes I've written 10 years ago, but everybody will, if they see me turn up with a girlfriend, they'll all turn around and look at them. And who knows what that joke's about? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
That's
just a natural, so you can understand why it could be uncomfortable, I suppose.
No, and actually I've been... As the years have gone on, I've had to learn by mistakes. In that Silence of the Nans show, I used two people's real names. I don't know why. Really? One of them was a singer on board, and later I asked...
Was it a famous singer?
No, a cruise singer.
Because the one I did, it was Daniel Day.
Oh, wow.
Daniel Day, yeah. That's him,
isn't it? I've heard of him, yeah.
He did the Technicolor Dreamcoat one after Jason Donovan or something. Yeah, okay, so it's just like a generic singer.
Yeah, but she had a CD of covers out, which I bought online to play as people coming in and out the show. Okay. And when I was filming the show, just for Next Up, I emailed her through her website and asked if I could use any of the music on the thing and that I'd pay. And she said, she sent me back a reply that really knocked me for six. It was really lovely. And said, "I'd love to let you, but I can't because this is my livelihood. And I've actually heard about this show from people."
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
On board, and this, I'm on cruises all the time, this is my life, and they've said there's someone doing a show that's not entirely complimentary. He said, I hope you're not horrible about me, it's, it would make, you know, and I basically made her really sad, and I hadn't been horrible, but I'd also not been like reverent, you know. I was a little bit snippy of me, and to have the gall to just be like, can I use your music? I might have just been slagging you off my show that she doesn't know anything about. She'll never see. It's like, oh, God, what an arsehole. Why didn't I just change her last name? You know, yeah. I just didn't think. But also, but more close to home, the older my kid gets, the more careful I need to be. I've done loads of material about him as a toddler, because I would hope that he's becomes the kind of man who can not mind that he was a weapon as a toddler.
This is what fed him.
Yeah, exactly. But equally, the older he gets, the more I think I don't like the idea of you having the mickey taken out of you in the playground, because your mum.
Kevin Hart on his podcast talks about one of his kids loves it and another kid hates it.
Right.
So I think it just depends on the kid once they're old enough to
vibe. That's true, actually. I think it's about getting permission. Essentially, once they're old enough, it's going to be about getting permission. And then if you can't get permission, then you can write a bit about none of these pricks giving you permission.
Just make it a daughter.
Yeah. Yeah, an imaginary daughter. Yeah.
I've got a sister in my act.
Yeah, and you haven't in life.
No, if there's something that's just generic and I could say brother or sister, I'll just make it sister.
I love it. And I've gone to town on my parents, and my mum now has been like, oh, God, I probably have had enough. So it's dad's turn. But my dad loves it. It's funny, isn't it? You kind of,
Yeah, my mum, I mean, when I first started, I had some jokes that were a bit sort of like, they're just the mum character, but for her, she didn't know anything about the comedy, really. Yeah. And she'd come and like watch, and I don't think she liked it. I think it took her a while to sort of come back and start seeing me a lot more, because I think it just... And I totally get it. But back then, I was doing anything I could to get any sort of laugh I could.
Well, I still am. But you know, I know what you mean. My mum's a lot posher in my set than she is in
my life. Okay.
But the problem is, where my mum hates it is when I've taken something that there's a seed of truth in, you know, like in Hench, she did.
So she knows.
She did, yeah, and it's awful. She did say she doesn't like the idea of women weightlifting and getting defined muscles. She just thinks it's gross and unfeminine. But I paraphrased her. And, you know, and you don't know how much attention a bit is going to get or whatever. And, yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? So you've got a thing going, don't use it exactly. Don't, you know, draw away from the truth. But then you're like, well, don't paraphrase and have like, I don't know. Tricky. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. So what other bits have you been sort of, that haven't really worked very well?
So I watched a documentary that wasn't what I expected it to be, about a strongman. So I started like dabbling in strongman competitions, which I would love to get material about, but I feel like...
So you're still talking about this as a topic? Mm. Like, do you think... So that's cool.
Well, yeah, but I don't know that it will necessarily... Like, that's not going to be the theme of a future show. But equally, ironically, all that, you know, weightlifting stuff has become a bigger thing in my life after doing Hench. I really dabbled as a hobbyist before then. And now I'm really into it. But
are you known in the industry now because of it?
No. What, in the weightlifting?
Because I'm Schwarzenegger,
they're
going to know who you are.
No. God, compared to all those beasts, I'm a complete weed. No, I'm an old lady and a novice. But I'm into it. And I watched this documentary called... Everything about it ended up really tickling me, and I really think there should be something in it, but I can't quite find what the nut of the funniness is. It's called The Strongest Man in the World, and then if you look closely, it's on Prime. There's a little tagline: at Bending Steel, a was like, oh. So there's something in that. Oh, I think. The little
that's
caveat.
Really fun. That's really funny.
And I was like, why has no one heard of him?
The strongest man in the world at opening crisps.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There we go. That's funnier than anything I've, you know, opening crisps. Yeah.
That's really fun. That's a great, that's really funny.
And then, and so you're expecting this documentary about this really like strong man. And then he's, I don't know, he's got lots of problems. And his brother's a crack addict who's just openly smoking crack in beside him. A lot of the time, hammered.
And that's not what the documentary is about.
It's supposed to be about following him round competing at these kind of very sort of low budget events. He's needs a wash. He's never not got like this long greasy hair. He's got this wife slash girlfriend.
Don't email him to ask to use his music.
His partner has got like the face of a 25-year-old but with the long grey hair of the witch out of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh, God.
And you're like, why is this sane, kind of slightly beautiful woman with this enormous, greasy...
Is he massive, is he?
I don't know. Like it's muscle hard to tell. No, not completely barrel. Muscle. Yeah. He's
strong, like, yeah.
He's a big boy, but it's not... Well, strong, yeah. Once you get up to the, like, the big strongman competers, they're not all muscle, though, most of them.
No, no. No, they're sort of round, aren't
they?
Yeah.
It starts becoming a case of
mass.
Just gaining, weight.
Yeah.
And then, what else in it? There's a grandma in it that in the background could be dead.
But I guess you can't use the footage from this.
No, it's an Amazon Prime documentary. And actually, perhaps herein lies the rub. Like, how do you do a bit of material about, one, a TV programme that you can't ever show any of, two... You know, a pay-per-view one, essentially, on a very niche topic that no one will have seen. Yeah. Like, no one's seen it. So you really are painting the picture to do a sort of anti-advert. Or is it an advert for this programme? For me, what I loved about it was I was expecting to see this, like, those they're so, you know, that you expect there to be so much toxic masculinity in a documentary about a strong man. And the strongest thing this man can do is bend a penny. And he needs loads of goes at it. So and the visual of watching a huge man take a tiny coin and try and like squeeze it up in his hands is so pathetic. That's
that's funny. I think you going into describing what he does and then the descriptions and then you give in examples. Yeah. I think is funny. I think the trouble with saying about the old lady and all that, I can imagine that is funny to watch. But that's hard to sell, I think, if they can't see the visual of her in the background, I guess. Yeah. Have you seen Pumping Iron?
No. Have I? I don't think so. What is it?
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger's sort of first thing he did, which was a documentary about him entering Mr. Universe.
Amazing.
And if you want a funny documentary, it is hilarious. It's so funny. And he's come out later when he was sort of doing his running for Senate. Is that what he does? I don't know what he did.
Yeah, he was
and then he sort
he?
Of debunked it all, saying that it was all on purpose to sort of things he said. But I don't really believe that because of the mentality of someone who's that level of athlete at that point, that it's just good. You have to watch it.
He's worshipped
like my friends
like
at uni
God.
Always.
By lots of...
We always quoted from it at uni all the time in the gym when we're because I did a sports science.
I love it
at uni. So yeah, it's so good. Oh, that's cool. So what else have you got that you've that's not been sort of
what
landing?
Else have we got that's not landing?
Or anything from the past that you've like? Have you ever had any routines or any ideas that you thought were great but never quite worked?
I've got a bit about meditation at the moment that I'm really happy with, but I want a more inventive end for.
Ah, okay.
Shall I tell you that?
Yeah.
So, it's essentially that I tried meditating, and the sad news, it made me angrier. what I learned is if you've got time for meditation, you're not the one who needs it. And then I talk about how busy I am, how stressed I am, and how tired that makes me. And then I've had some really good fun flirting with around, like talking around, yeah, and that's the a bit where I get to play, I think.
Yeah.
About, it's fun to behave stressed on stage.
And, okay,
and talk
wicked.
About
yeah,
like
yeah.
how, you know, if you're that wired all the time, you're knackered. And what is meditation if not a torturous tantric nap?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
say it lets
it's like a tease.
Yeah,
it's a teasing
exactly.
Nap,
it lets you get so close to the thing you need, but you're not actually allowed to have it. And then, yeah, I've been playing with that and talking about like if you're hungry, it doesn't make it better to bring yourself close to food, does it? And then from that point, it goes a bit wishy washy. And I'd love to like find a way of ending it on a high, on a getting better and better, or I just finish it the bit sooner. But at the moment I'm going, if you get hungry, it doesn't help to bring yourself close to food. I like the idea of being close to food. I like the idea of incorporating the words sandwich adjacent or something like that. I've been saying,
can you do a bit of make it in the room about being close to a joke?
Yeah.
For the audience, like it's like then you could talk about the end not being having a big ending.
That's amazing. That's so meta, but I love it. I love the idea that you could be like, you've nearly laughed. I've nearly finished this bit on the funniest bit of the bit, but I haven't, have I? You've done your biggest laugh earlier, and now you've just nearly laughed. Yeah, lovely.
There's something in that.
There is something in that.
I started to try and meditating and stuff for a bit, but I find I can't even. I've got time, but for some reason I don't have time. Yeah. It's so stupid, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's that 10 minutes of actually doing it. For some reason I can't, and I nap a lot, and I tend to just fall asleep if I do it.
Yeah, no, me too these days, and that's fine.
I have a nap every day.
Good boy. You texted me the other day. You're gonna have a little nap.
Did I?
Yeah, because I had to reschedule this and you were like, no problem, going to have a nap. I was like, yes! I couldn't nap until I had my son and now I'm really good at naps. And I used to come out of them feeling groggy sometimes and now I don't care. I know the benefits. I can feel the benefit in my core that it has done me. And it used to stop me sleeping in the night. No.
Nope. But no, honestly, the main reason I do it is gigging. Mm. Because I was saying about, I do the thing in the audience where I sort of, they say a topic and I do a joke. I'm terrible at it if I haven't slept.
Yeah.
My brain's not quick enough.
Yeah.
So if I've had, even if I just have 10 minutes, I'm okay. I'm good. But it's weird.
Well, that is
I rely
your meditation then.
I think so.
A good mate, comedian, I was on doing tour support for them a couple of years ago. And before every show, she'd go and do a 10-15 minute meditate, just a quick meditate, and I was like, fucking hell, I should give that a go, because there's something really, I think, to be said for,
well, what I find is breathing.
Yeah,
so I don't meditate, but if I'm driving, I get so bored when I drive, sometimes I'll just do a breathing technique that's just a really simple, I find the one where you breathe out for longer than you breathe in.
Just
that sorts me right out,
and all
really
nose
sort of
breathing
calms.
Is the thing, isn't it, as well?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, not breathing through your mouth. I think it's there's the same bloke going around telling everyone about breathing out for longer than in. But also there's lots of like ancient proverbs that if you're breathing through your mouth, you're in a state of panic.
I don't breathe in through my mouth. Does that mean breathing out as well?
I don't know. I like, especially like if I'm exercising and I'm getting puffed, I really like forcing myself to breathe in through my nose.
Right.
But I like being allowed to breathe out through my mouth.
Yeah, I never, ever breathe in through my mouth, ever.
If I'm really gassed, I feel like I have to. Like, it's panic. Like, it's like once you're at the point where I don't have any watches with any of your heart rate gubbins on, because I don't really believe in them. But if I know that I'm, like, running, you know, you're working at a point of fitness that you can only maintain for a little bit, because you're like...
Yeah.
And that once I'm doing that, I'm like, at some point now, I'm going to need to slow down or I'm going to puke or pass out.
Did you do physical activity much when you were younger?
Yeah, I loved PE, but I wouldn't say I did it much. I loved it if it was fun. I loved playing team sports and stuff, but I was never I hated cross country, I hated running. I wasn't never in the gym as a kid.
But I was always, sport was my main thing when I was a kid. And my dad sort of trained me with taekwondo, and his friends owned a gym, so I was always in dusty old low-key kind of free weights gyms. And from a young age, I was always taught in through the nose, out through the mouth as a, you know.
It's hugely calming.
So now
it?
It's totally natural, I think. Even when I'm really at the peak of my knackered, like I'm really out of breath, it still always goes there. And I think that's just a learnt thing, maybe.
Really good, yeah. So I do, like, I think, called CrossFit, and at the end of a brutal WOD, if you're, like, on the floor, because you just have to push so hard right to the end of it. There's always a time limit on it. And at the end, like, the best advice I was that you're every bit of you wants to lie on the floor with, like, your face in your hands, like, retching and go... But the best advice I was ever given was stay upright, even if you have to sit down, and just get back to breathing in through your nose as quick as you can.
Yeah.
To, like, calm yourself down. Yeah.
The worst thing you... Like, I find it horrible lying on my back. Because like, that's what most people do when they...
It immediately makes you, like, really uncomfortable, doesn't it? It's horrible.
No, you need to... Basically warm down, isn't it? You just need to keep the body moving, even if you're knackered, just at a slower pace, so you bring your heart rate down sort of gently. But
fascinating. Yeah. Didn't know you had a degree in sports science. I could geek
it's
about
weird,
that
actually.
All day.
It's weird, actually, because that was all my life up until comedy, really.
Right.
And I was competing in taekwondo at quite a good level, and then I kept getting injured. And it was around the time I stopped fighting, I started comedy. Right. So it was like a natural transition.
Yeah.
But now it's quite cool because I'm doing this work on the BT Sports show.
Yeah.
It's quite nice because both worlds have sort of come together, which is...
I love
it. I feel like that degree wasn't a complete waste of time.
Well, I did a law degree, so we need there to become a BT law show for me to have like a... No, we don't.
That's right, when that woman sues you.
Yeah.
That's why you did it, isn't it? You just wanted to bring your degree in.
Yeah, fuck. Bizarre.
So have you got one last bit? Anything you'd thought about?
Joke-wise?
Can you remember your first jokes?
Awful one-liners.
What did you do? One-liners, right?
Yeah.
Can you remember? What, as in
bad
taste-wise?
Ones, yeah. No, I just don't think they're very original. What do you call a racist in an armchair? Nana.
Oh, you did proper old school. Yeah, what do you call a?
Oi. That's... Yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah. 2008
Really, I don't remember you doing that. So maybe we met after that.
Yeah. Oh, well, I didn't do just those. What? I also did the comedy I'm doing now with a... I used to have a one-liner section in the middle of my 20s.
Can you remember any more?
I was thinking the other day, actually, about one that I think I only ever tweeted it because it never worked out loud. But and I was thinking, I just don't think I couched it right. But I said something like, spare a thought for agoraphobic gnomes, which... I think would work much better if it was the end of something else. If you were like, I think if you were talking in some other way and then went, I was as comfortable and as happy as an agoraphobic gnome, and then move on and give people
that's
a chance
nice.
To work it out. Yeah.
But I mean, I also think if Dimitri Martin, when he's strumming his guitar, put that in, that would work.
Yeah.
Because it's that kind of... That's really... That's really fun. Oh, I love that.
Oh, thanks.
That's great. Yeah. But maybe that just didn't suit the rest of what you were doing.
I know. I just had these very written bits in the middle of what other one-liners.
Were you influenced by any of those sort of Dimitri Martin sort of people when coming up with those?
Because
that's kind of a little bit left field, isn't it?
Milton Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
I love this one about the napkin ghost.
Yes, yes. That's a classic, isn't it? Very good.
And Jimmy Carr, early Jimmy Carr, I had books of...
Me too.
Like, you know, good joke books where the writers were credited. And I did definitely grow up in a house with where jokes were told. Like, my dad is very funny and he's got horrible... Like, he's quite cruel compared to... I don't think he'd... Even socially, he's quite hit and miss these days. Really? Like, that's a bit creepy.
Like your dad that likes sort of proper jokes, what does he think of your stand-up, which isn't jokey jokes?
Not a fan. No, he's too busy. He watches Gary Delaney and Sean Locke on YouTube and no comedy on telly. He texted me the other day to say two things. I've forgotten to send your son a birthday card or present. That's his only grandson. And I thought your QI was pretty shit, if I'm honest. I was like, thank you very much.
Yeah. At least he watched it.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather he didn't bother, if I'm honest. No, he's not in, like, he's really, like, and he's and he genuinely was like, sometimes when I watch these panel shows, I think, I wish the women would smile and laugh at the others a bit more. He's like an old school dickhead in a lot of ways. But he is very funny.
Have you done a show about him?
No, but he needs to get it, I think, in my comedy a bit more, because he's an absolute specimen.
And he'll probably love it.
He will, yeah. So I did one panel show once, and I ended up talking about him leaving me outside Ladbrokes and as a child a lot. And he loved that. He really loved it. He was like, oh, that was the best bit. He's like a man on a stag do in his whole life. He's just like, yeah, come on, slag me. Do me. He would love it, yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. Have you got any more one-liners before we stop? That you, from that one-liner set?
God, what else did I say?
I love hearing comics that don't do that. When they sort of go back to the sort of what they used to do.
What did the horse say to the unicorn? Dickhead.
That's so good. I love that.
Oh, God.
Jess Foster Cure! Hashtag awooga to Jess the Foster Cure. Lovely stuff. Great. Any feedback, let us know at Jokes with Mark across all social media. We'd love to hear all from of them. You. If you're enjoying the podcast and you haven't given us a 5-star review over on...
Also, recent news in podcast world. You can now review podcasts on Spotify.
Shut up.
So if you listen on Spotify and you thought, for months, years, you've thought, God, I'd love to review Jokes with Mark Simmons. I'd love to give it a shiny 5 stars, but I listen on Spotify. I can't. Well, no, you can.
Joel, this is an exclusive breaking news.
It's big news.
I tell you what, yes, please, guys, if you enjoy the podcast, it's free, isn't it? It's free. So why not go over and give us a review? We'd really love that. So, well done, Joel. Good stuff. And it's my birthday. Do it for my birthday.
Do it.
Feel free.
Don't do it because you like the show. Do it because it's Mark's birthday.
To say happy birthday as well. I'll love that. I'll have a good old look.
That'd be nice.
All right, then. We're going to be back next week, as always. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. Everyone's, because this is a new series, I've had a little look at the numbers, Joel, and everyone's back. They're all back.
They love it. They can't believe it. They listening. Can't believe their luck.
Yeah.
They're back for 2022.
Everyone's catching up. Great stuff. What a great start, guest-wise, that we've had.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So thanks, everybody. And we'll talk to you next week. It won't be my birthday, then. When's your birthday, Joel?
August.
See you next. Anything more from you, Joel?
Nothing more from me, Mark.
Nothing more from me, Joel. Hashtag Woogoo, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.